Yeah, let's go ahead and give these two gentlemen another round of applause. They did a great job this morning. So, as Jim mentioned, LTC Sunday is a time where we get to come together and watch our youth as they grow in their faith and continue to build on what God has in store for them. So now, probably more than any other time in their life, they're asked to be faithful and interact with hundreds of people in their schools and their communities and share their faith with others. This is something that takes practice and honing skills, which we get together each week as youth group on Sunday during Bible classes and on Wednesdays, and even events through the years where we invite other friends to come and join us and learn about these things and join us on our journey of faith. So LTC is an opportunity to show us that even if we are competing in Bible Bowl or sharing songs of worship or putting on a puppet play, that we can use our talents to show others God's love. So as part of this journey today, I'm going to be talking about something that I'm familiar with as a civil engineer and also as a Christian, which is water purification. So I decided to go to the store right across the street over here, and I found some water. So you guys probably are familiar with some of these. We got some mineral water. Even things to make us smarter, smart water. We have life water, okay, so you might need some of that. You've already had some this morning. And this is karma. So if you haven't had karma, go for it. And then I brought my water bottle from school. This is from Natalie's High School. Let's see, I might have one more in here. Oh, this is called crazy water. So if you need to be a little crazy, there you go. So purification, what does this mean on a kind of technical level? So it just means removing contaminants from something, processing to extract something, or the process of making something either spiritually or ceremonially clean. So how do we get our water? Well, we get them from different water sources. So we know from the water cycle that there is a continuous movement of water on Earth. Water evaporates into the air. It falls back to Earth as precipitation. And water flows across the land, eventually reaching our rivers, lakes, and soaks into the ground. We then go and get these water sources to remove it and use it for our purposes. Once we know where the water's at, we go and it goes through treatment. This includes things like filtration, removing particles and other impurities. We also have processes such as reverse osmosis, UV light treatment, distillation that removes dissolved minerals, chemicals, and microorganisms that may be harmful to us. As a civil engineer, I've been involved in design of many of these types of projects. Depending on the source and treatment, the water is then collected, and in this case, bottled, in clean facilities with strict quality standards. Different types of treatment go into different bottles of water. Most people agree that if the water comes from a clean natural source, the water is more pure. Where does our baptism water come from? It comes from a water treatment facility. It's conveyed through a series of pipes and eventually reaches the church baptistry area where we use baptisms. I can promise that it's 100% free of all contaminants, and it even has a heater. So spend lots of time up there. As a society, we spend a lot of money trying to gather and purify water. We even search water on other planets and as part of space exploration, research, and missions. So why is water a symbol of purification? We know that in many cultural and spiritual contexts, water is seen as a symbol of cleansing, purification, and renewal, representing a spiritual cleaning or fresh start for the soul. Water is often used in ceremonies to symbolize the washing away of impurities and negative energies, both physical and spiritual. Water is often associated with healing, with people traveling long distances to drink or even bathe in water from mountains, wells, and springs believed to have special healing properties. When we were on vacation in Florida, we visited the Fountain of Youth. I did not regrow my hair. Yeah, Natalie will tell you about that. Water can represent new beginning and a chance to start anew. Water is essential for life. And in many cultures, it is seen as a symbol of vitality, both for the body and the soul. The Bible uses water as a symbol of God's power, purification, and provision. So what does God say about purification? If we take a look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and truth is not us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So when did God save souls with water? Have you ever heard the phrase, water saves souls? In the Old Testament, God sent a great flood to cleanse the earth of wickedness. But Noah and his family were saved by being in the ark, a symbol of God's grace and protection. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, in it only had a few people, eight in all. They were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not that removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So the Apostle Paul draws a parallel between the flood and baptism, stating that the flood waters saved Noah and his family, and baptism now saves believers. Peter clarifies that baptism is not about physical cleansing, but about a pledge of faith towards God, a response to God's grace through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The story of Noah's ark mentions that only eight people were saved from the flood, and Peter uses this number to reinforce the idea of God's grace and the importance of baptism. Baptism is seen as a response to God's grace, a public declaration of faith and commitment to follow him. So what about Jesus? In the Bible, Jesus depicts using water in various ways, both literally and symbolically, representing spiritual life and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist was a significant event, and water is used as a symbol of cleansing and spiritual rebirth. Jesus' first miracle, recorded in the Gospel of John, involves turning water into wine at a wedding. Jesus also famously walks on the Sea of Galilee, demonstrating his divine power and authority. We can look at several scriptures, coming from Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, which is the Great Commission, instructing believers to be baptized with water and teach others to follow him. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." In John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, how do we pick the right water? The bottles of water can represent different paths to purification. Now that we have all these wonderful choices of water, how do we choose? In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, a significant event where he offers her living water and reveals himself as Messiah, leading her and many others in the town to believe him. Jesus, traveling through Samaria, stops at Jacob's well, tired from his journey. A Samaritan woman comes and to draw water, and Jesus asks her for a drink. The woman is surprised that a Jew would ask a Samaritan for a drink, as Jews and Samaritans typically avoid each other. Jesus tells the woman that if she knew the gift of God and who he is, she would have asked for living water, which would become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman initially focused on the practical needs of water, eventually recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. The woman leaves her water jar, goes back to town, and shares the news about Jesus, leading many Samaritans to believe in him. This encounter highlights Jesus' willingness to interact with people from all backgrounds, including those considered outcasts, and his ability to offer spiritual fulfillment. So how will we choose? Which one of these will purify us? Well, our bottle of water comes from the cross. How does Jesus purify us? So Jesus purifies us through his sacrifice on the cross, offering forgiveness and cleansing from sin and through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. This should empower us to live a life pleasing to God. So I just have a couple more points here for us today for application. The first is the sacrifice of Christ. Jesus' death on the cross is a complete and sufficient atonement for the sins of humanity, providing a way for people to be purified with God. Confession and repentance. Acknowledging our sins and turning away from them is a crucial step in receiving God's forgiveness and experiencing purification. The work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, sent by God, empowers believers to live a life of holiness and righteousness, helping us to overcome sin and grow in Christ's likeness. The more we are like Christ, the more we experience purification. Living a life of obedience. By following God's word and seeking to live according to God's will, we participate in the ongoing process of purification. Suffering as a means of purification. God may use difficult experiences and trials to refine and purify us, but this is helping us to grow in faith and resilience. And purification as a process. So just like taking water and constantly removing contaminants to use for drinking, purification of our soul is not at one time event, but rather a continuous process of growth and transformation as we follow Christ and seek to live a life pleasing to God. If you would, please join me in a prayer. Dear Heavenly and Grateful Father, we are just so humbled that we have this process that we can come to you, Lord, that through your sacrifice, through our confession, through the Holy Spirit, through trying to live a life of obedience, that we can live in this process that you want us to of purification, Lord. But we know that purification process is not through something we can create through science and other means, but through the cross, Lord. It's our is through our soul, through the Holy Spirit, through you, Lord. Just continue to be with us as we continue to remove the contaminants, the sin from our lives, so that our soul can be pure and that we can see you. Dear Heavenly Father, be with each and every one of us. Please continue to be with the youth as they grow and continue to do amazing things out in this world, but more importantly, just point others to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.